honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Again, Timberwolves fans, are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps, and it's now, unfortunately, no longer a part of the Basketball Podcast Network because the Basketball Podcast Network ceased operations. I did a little tiny miniature show a few days ago to announce that and also to kind of get the blood flowing for the new Spotify account, so to speak. It's Spotify for podcasters. It's basically Anchor. So again, for those of you that didn't listen to that little short episode, it was a mobile episode, I call it, where I actually can do the show mobily from my phone. And it's incredible technology how good it still sounds, even from your phone. So it's something I've done for some of my other shows in the past, at least one in particular called Freedom of Thought. Because sometimes just thoughts come in my head and I want to say something. So Spotify for podcasters /Anchor, basically. Basically, there was some deal with Anchor and Spotify that created this. And, yep, I obviously have had other shows moved over there in the past. Video Game Flashback, Freedom of Thought from Hipcast. And then, unfortunately, the Pigskin Podcast Network as well ceased operations, basically at the end of March, the 31st. So Timberwolves Explosion and Purple Mafia are now on Spotify for podcasters /Anchor, basically. And Brave the Wild remains on the Hockey Podcast Network. So that's the one that remained. That was the flagship part of the network, basically, the Hockey Podcast Network. So that one's still going strong, and Brave the Wild will remain there. Anyhow, to Timberwolves basketball, as they got those important announcements out of the way. So you won't be hearing DraftKings ads, but you'll be hearing other stuff at some point. We'll get to it. We'll cross that bridge when we get there anyway. Timberwolves lost to the LA Lakers, had a disgusting historic loss to the Portland Trail Blazers. The Wolves were the jailblazers in that one. And then somehow beat the Brooklyn Nets, but basically we were meatloafed, pardon me, 1-2 this past week in very disappointing fashion.
Okay. That's the way you want it. That's the way you're going to get it.
So, yes, extremely disappointing. Of course, a historic aspect to the Portland game. We'll get to that very shortly, the Laker game. Some of us kind of saw that coming, but you would hope that the Wolves could go 2-1 after that. Who knows? The fear was maybe we'd lose to the Nets. But luckily, the Timberwolves kind of got their head out of their proverbial arse and played some good basketball for a change in comparison to the previous two games anyway. As this team, it's like that's the ongoing conversation locally with podcasts and regular radio or whatever, like local media, KFAN, Score North, all of them. We can beat anybody and we can lose to anybody because, of course, this team is, 5-10 in, the bottom five teams in the NBA? It's pathetic. How can you be that bad? How? How can you be that bad against the five worst teams in the NBA? The Mount Rushmore of terrible teams right now. Well, add one to it, but you get the idea because 5 instead of 4. But the proverbial Mount Rushmore of terrible teams in the NBA right now, we have a drastically losing record. We're 3-3-3 against them. It's pathetic. So unacceptable, to say the least. Again, the Lakers, you kind of saw that coming. They're starting to get healthy at the right time. They've been playing way better. And the Lakers, there's a lot of pride in that locker room. There's a lot of pride at the top of the team when you think about LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who didn't break his finger or his ankle in the game. It's a miracle. Because there's always that fear. Just ask Vince Germano. I'm sure he's a bit worried about that. And Stu Benson and Caitlin Woods and many other Laker fans out of Australia that love this show. Or have listened. Maybe they don't love it, but they listen to it on occasion. Some might love it, some might not. But yeah, we kind of saw that coming now that I'm bouncing all over the place, but that's kind of how Timberwolves Explosion is. I'm going to explode with emotions and explode with this and that, but again, I am far from any cheerleader for this team. Timberwolves dropped to 500 with the loss to the Los Angeles Lakers. 1-2-3 to 1-1-1. Wasn't that fun how I did that? Friday night. Every game against the Lakers this year was on a Friday night. The Wolves won the season series 2-1, but ultimately, unless I'm crazy and forgot that we did lose earlier, maybe we did. I forget, but I thought we were winning the season series Well, Anthony Davis had his second huge game against the Timberwolves, and this one, of course, again, comes at a loss, unfortunately. Mike Conley puts in 25 points. It was a good game by certain players and all that. It's not like the Wolves played terribly. It's just that we got beat. You know, this was a we got beat type of game by Anthony Davis getting those offensive rebounds. LeBron James taking it to the basket. Still kind of rusty. Anthony Davis also getting to the line and making the shots he needed to. But those eight offensive rebounds were brutal and were, you know, they were backbreaking, to be quite fair. Eight offensive rebounds by Anthony Davis in situations you got to stop, you got to miss, and you can't get the damn rebound. So that was insanely frustrating. 15 offensive rebounds by the Los Angeles Lakers. Scottie Pippen Jr. is inactive in the G League two-way. Maybe Scottie Pippen the third by now, because Scottie's got to be pushing. Yeah, he's like, gosh, he's almost 60 years old already. Where is the time gone, everybody? Where is the time gone? LeBron James is almost 40 years old. It's so weird. Most of us can remember LeBron James as an 18-year-old playing for the Cavs against the Sacramento Kings on opening night. Not most of us, but a lot of us can. It's just, it's weird. Makes you feel ancient, not old. Ancient. Jaden McDaniels is far from ancient, but he did turn the ball over five times. The Lakers, again, they just simply outplayed this Timberwolves team. They were just the better team. And that's the unfortunate fact of it all. Last year's Lakers team was underachieving. They were injured. They were awful. This year's team was the same until the last month or so when they just started really kind of locking in and saying, hey, you know, we're going to get this done. And, of course, some decent acquisitions helped as well, not including D'Angelo Russell, even though he hit a three or two against the Wolves in this game. He also missed a floater at a crucial time. But, of course, Anthony Edwards. Did I call him Anthony Edwards? Anthony Davis with a back-breaking, again, offensive rebound and put in. Anthony Edwards did not play well, and that's a huge problem. Like, one Anthony really outplayed the other, even though they don't play the same position. 4 out of 16 for Anthony Edwards. Ouch. Only 11 points, and he only got to the line once, basically, and missed one of them. So, I don't know. Conley played awesome. 7 of 11, 4 of 6 from downtown, 7 assists, only 2 turnovers, 3 steals, so he made up for it, but he fouled out. He fouled out. That's great. But I got to think he outplayed D'Angelo Russell, even though D'Angelo did have 10 assists, had some nice moments. But I do think Conley outplayed D'Angelo Russell. There's no doubt. And that was a good feeling. Malik Beasley. Yeah, that's right. He's on the Lakers now. I keep thinking if he's still on Utah. But no, Malik Beasley and Vanderbilt on the Los Angeles Lakers. That was, again, a Timberwolves-related trade. By moving D'Angelo Russell there, we worked with Utah again to get Conley and blah, blah, blah. But I think most of you know that, I hope, by now, just in case you care enough to. Yeah. Austin Reeves, couple of threes. Good for him. But, yeah, Anthony Davis, he was the better Anthony, unfortunately, in a lot of ways. Just like the last time around, he had about 40 points. He was crazy. Jared Vanderbilt, yeah, I don't know. He doesn't rebound like he used to, does he? It's kind of weird, but I suppose LeBron and Anthony Davis have been picking them all up. LeBron James plays a bit of a power forward kind of a role oftentimes, even though he's a small forward, he's a power forward, he's a power forward, he's a small forward. He's just a forward, okay? So get over it, Joey. 7 of 19 from the floor and all that good stuff. That was LeBron James. But the Lakers win kind of comfortably. It was just, again, they kind of took care of us down the stretch. And that third quarter is what really did the Timberwolves in, 35-18. The Wolves looked like we might win this game. There was a pretty good chance we were. And then the Lakers just said, basically, in the third quarter and into the fourth. And that's just how it was. Again, get those freaking rebounds. It would really help. But we didn't. That's all there is to say. And now for a little history. And dare I call this our feature presentation? No, we'll save that for the next one. This is the opposite of feature presentation. This is the insult of the season, the insult of the decade. Maybe the insult of the history of the franchise, but it's way up there. Because the franchise started in 1989, right? Late fall 1989, the Timberwolves opened up their franchise in the Metrodome as the Target Center was being built. Wonderful. It was going to be the best arena in town, which it was for a little while, until Xcel Energy Center knocked that into the third deck, because they did. They hit a grand slam home run against the Timberwolves in the Target Center when they built the Xcel Energy Center. It's just a really nice building, that's all. Target Center stayed pretty mediocre for a while until they did some nice updates, but unfortunately, the team still needs a new arena, and that sucks, but it's just reality. I'm only denying the inevitable, aren't I? This is like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde to the angry video game nerd, when you consider the vile, disgusting embarrassment that took place on a Sunday afternoon, a beautiful Sunday afternoon, where you would want to be doing just about anything else, playing tiddlywinks, I don't know, playing jacks with your great-grandmother. No, with your grandmother, playing jacks with your great-grandmother or something. I got greasies. I don't even know what to tell you. I mean, counting the grass blades that are sticking out of the snow, maybe, if it was warm enough, which it kind of sort of was for a minute. The Timberwolves lose 107-105 to the Blazers, right? So it's like, okay, you only lost by 2 points. And okay, whatever. Crap happens. It's, you know, they're an NBA team too, right? They're an NBA team. Come on now. It's going to happen. You know, the Carolina Panthers, as an expansion team, beat the defending champion San Francisco 49ers, right? During the 1995 NFL season. I'm sure all of you remember that. No, you don't. I'm just weird and remember things like that. No. 2 years before that was the last big upset, was the last largest upset in NBA history in terms of point spread losses. The Timberwolves were favored by 19.5 in this game. 19.5 in this game. To a team that has literally just said, okay, we're shutting it down. You know, I mean, we're shutting it down. We're going to try to get as high a pick in the draft as we can. Maybe we'll win the lottery. And we'll take the next Sam Bowie and watch the next Michael Jordan. No, well, the next great player dominate in Chicago or something like that. Whatever the scenario is. Or Detroit or something. Or Houston. The Timberwolves lost in a game they were favored by 19.5. It just doesn't get better than that.
Are you fucking kidding me?
It sucks. Oh, God, it sucks.
Is there any more reason to do the show at this point? I mean, that's kind of like, okay, board up target center, bring in the explosives and, you know, bring in the explosives and carry out the demolition. It's done. It's done. Timberwolves are moving to Seattle. Let's just move on. No, I'm kidding. I hope they're not moving to Seattle, and I don't think so, but whatever. That's for another day. But this felt like they'd already moved to Seattle. Like this was, I don't know, the Iowa Wolves. Maybe the Iowa Wolves could have beaten the Blazers because maybe they would have cared. That's the problem. As mean as a jackass as Bobby Knight was as a coach, there was a time he drew on the chalkboard, he drew a heart and said, "You see this? None of you know what this is because none of you have it." Well, that's what this game felt like. That's what with the Timberwolves. How does this happen? Okay, there is one player that absolutely has it. That was a very false, inaccurate statement. There's one player that absolutely has it. Kyle Anderson is one of them, I think. Rudy Gobert, okay, he got his 15 rebounds. That's really nice. Anthony Edwards has it. Absolutely. And I think Kyle Anderson does as well. I think Kyle Anderson did his, so a couple of players have it. But generally speaking, I don't know. There's a certain player on the roster that has been a huge disappointment. And I'm just going to say it. And Timberwolves pages in the past used to just worship every single time he'd open his mouth about being a great leader and I've got a lot of things to say. It's basically what his quote was after the Laker game. He's got a lot of things to say and practice tomorrow and rah, blah, 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 blah. It's going to be this in-house, like, rah, rah, ree type of fest. Karl-Anthony Towns, Mr. Yuck It Up While We're Losing to, you know, it was another terrible loss. I forget who it was to now because I've almost blocked it out of my memory. But it was just about a month ago when the Timberwolves had a pathetic loss to a pathetic team. Oh, no, it wasn't pathetic in terms of the team. It was just the way we went about losing the game. It was the Golden State Warriors, sorry. Pathetic in terms of I hate them with a passion, but still a dangerous team at times. But the way the Wolves lost the game, Karl-Anthony Towns yucking it up with Josh Benoit and Luka Garza on the bench during those closing minutes. It just blew my balls off. I couldn't believe what I was watching. And then he tells everybody about, oh, he's got a lot of big things to say after losing to the Lakers because the way they came in and outplayed us in the second half and all that. And then you follow it up with this. 5 personal fouls in 25 minutes, so you're just about fouled out. And of course, you're whining and bitching at the refs 10 times more than you ever do. 10 times, you know, basically his whining and bitching with the refs is back full force. That's the point I'm trying to make. Terribly. He attempted 3 shots. 3. He made 1 3-pointer. Okay, good. At least he made something. 5 of 8 from the line. That's kind of weak, too. 8 points in 25 minutes. Got into foul trouble and acted like the part of Karl Anthony Towns that we've always disliked, honestly. We've always hated this side of him. And how can you not? How can you like seeing him flailing around and whining like a baby? How can you like it? And if there's anything he said during the practice leading into this game, it failed. It didn't just fail. It failed. It really failed. A 30-year-old upset. An upset with 30 years in the making for it to be this big of a separation in a game. You're favored by 19.5 because the Blazers are, you know, the players want to win. I'm sure the coach would like to as well. But management set the team up to probably not win. Let's just put it like that. Probably not win. Let's not say lose. They set them up to probably not win, right? And then they did, because we just kind of bleeped around, for lack of a better word. We bleeped around. Anthony Edwards made some moves in this game that impressed the heck out of me. Just kind of the hesitation and spinning around and all that. Anthony Edwards was absolutely phenomenal in the game. And it felt like he was the one guy out there saying, okay, guys, come on, let's go. Along with Kyle Anderson, to be fair. We can easily be better than this. I don't understand what the heck is going on here. So, but the complete lack of urgency throughout this game was despicable, to say the least. I'm sure Conley cared as well, but he didn't play that great. He got his 6 assists, but he shot terribly, except at the free throw line. But just an overall meh, awful game. Awful. And lots of turnovers, sloppy, trying to do a little too much in terms of just being fancy versus putting the damn ball in the basket. That might be even Anthony Edwards a little bit, but at least his plays worked out. And he got some nice open court steals that led to a dunk as well. That was pretty nice, but a historic, frustrating, pathetic loss, to say the least. Anyhow, our feature presentation awaits us on the 4th of April.
And now, our feature presentation.
That's right, there is a feature presentation this week because the Wolves played pretty well in Brooklyn, honestly. It started out okay. Brooklyn kind of started to pull away. It looked like Brooklyn was probably going to win the game, but then the Wolves just kind of got assertive and simply just kind of took the work, just kind of simply, slowly but surely took the game away from a pretty talented Brooklyn Nets team. I've heard Michael Bridges. I've heard Mikal Bridges. I'm going to go with Mikal Bridges now. I kept calling him Michael, but it's Mikal Bridges, and I apologize. So my apologies for calling him Michael Bridges all last week. Karl Anthony Towns was certainly better in the game. Maybe I don't know what to think of the guy. Is he assertive or is he nuts? I don't know what he is. Sometimes I just think he's nuts, and I hate saying it because there's a reason why I called Karl Anthony Towns Carl. Carl. Just like Shaq. Just like Michael. Just like, you know what I mean? That's your franchise player, Dominique, you know? That's how I saw him. That's why I called him Carl. Anthony Edwards is that guy to me now. There's no doubt. To me, Anthony Edwards is the guy. Where I still call him Anthony Edwards, I guess, just like I called Kevin Garnett Kevin Garnett. So, I don't know, it just rolls off your tongue better, I guess. Where Carl, kind of, it's cool to have like a single name. I don't know. Carl Anthony sounds really weird. So you have to say the whole name or just one word. Or just the one first name, so to speak. Anthony Edwards, Ant, so to speak. That's your franchise player to me now. I'll still say Carl anyway, but not referring to him as a franchise guy. Because he's too inconsistent, bottom line. He is. He's too inconsistent mentally and physically. He's too inconsistent, regardless of who's sick, regardless of who's coming back from injury, regardless of who's going through this and who's going through that. You know, players overcome. Great players overcome situations. And yes, they have bad games. Yes, they struggle. But more often than not, great players don't struggle and don't have bad games. and don't look like a fool in crucial times. I mean, I'm sorry. Losing a game by an upset that is 30 years old. That is a 30-year gap between the last greatest upset, so to speak. It's just simply unacceptable. And I know Anthony Edwards is on that team that lost, but he played phenomenal in the game. He was the one guy that did. Kyle Anderson played very well also. But anyhow, Kyle Anderson had 10 assists versus the Brooklyn Nets. And the way they did their court, I swear, they're going for a look that made the players stand out in terms of, like, it almost made the players look 3D. Like, the players had kind of a, it has a 3D effect with the players. That must be what they're going for, because it's kind of nicely done. I don't really care for the Brooklyn Nets all that much in terms of, like, their court and all this and that, but whatever they did, though, for TV purposes, it's kind of cool. It's a cool effect how the court has these different, you know, shades, so to speak. It creates a 3D effect. Like, Timberwolves and Nets players look like they were literally, like, you could touch them almost, you know, like on a little, like a little 3D screen. It's really cool, actually. I was impressed by that, especially on mobile devices, but on the big TV as well. Very cool. Now that I got off of that, I had to mention that because it's really nice, actually. Anthony Edwards, again, a very solid game. Karl-Anthony Towns had a nice rebound game, and he rebounded really well as well, but he had a nice rebound from a terrible game versus the Portland Trailblazers, where, again, he ran into foul trouble and was freaking out way too much. But I don't know. There might be some calls that you think are BS. Make adjustments, man. No ref is the same. They're all different a little bit. Jaden McDaniels, solid performance, 15 points, 3 steals, 6 rebounds. It was kind of just a fun game. Like, we were kind of the Lakers to the Brooklyn Nets, his Timberwolves, so to speak. It was kind of like that. Like, the way we just kind of fell behind for a while and then just said, okay, we're going to take over gradually, very gradually. But we gradually took over and finished it, took care of business. Royce O'Neal hit a shot late that kind of made the score look a tiny bit prettier. But generally speaking, a nice solid win for the Minnesota Timberwolves that had us feeling significantly better. No doubt about it. Conley shot very well from the floor, 6 of 9. It feels so, like, when Conley's hitting his shots, it just feels so much better. It's weird, though, how he didn't get a whole lot of assists, but Kyle Anderson was pretty much running the offense in a lot of ways throughout the course of this game. Even Carl with 5 assists. Yes, Carl. I said Carl. Yes, 5 assists in the game. So the ball movement was certainly better than the Blazers game, generally speaking, but also the general execution was better. Better defense against this guy and making, you know, and taking better shots against that guy, you know, taking better shots against that guy. So overall, a nice, solid night for the Wolves, and thank God. But again, in a lot of ways, it just kind of teases and frustrates veteran and young fans alike when it comes to the Minnesota Timberwolves. But now the Timberwolves, the worst place the Timberwolves could be is 9th, and the best, I believe, is all the way up to 6th, possibly, because it's so close. It's just sad to think, like, just a game or two here or there, the Wolves could possibly be all the way up at 4th or so with Phoenix. It's just sad and extremely frustrating when you consider that. Nice lake trout. At least I think that's a lake trout. It's a big one, man. Anyhow, sorry. Friday fish show, I guess, in the background. But it's Friday, you know. What do you think of fish on Friday? So, usually, anyway. But, again, at least the Wolves are in the postseason, sort of, unofficially type of thing. But you're not officially in until you get through the play-in, because you're not in the NCAA tournament until you get the play-in as well. So, we're in play-in mode. Obviously, you're hoping and praying to get 7 or 8. That way, you simply win one game and you're in. You don't have to worry about anything else. Otherwise, you got to win 2 games as a 9th or 10th seed to make the actual regular playoffs, and you would be the 8th seed at that stage. But good for us if that happens. Right now, we are number 9. We are numero nueve. We are a full game behind the Lakers and the New Orleans Pelicans. We're playing them to wrap up the season. Oklahoma City Thunder are a game and a half behind the Timberwolves with 42 losses to our 40 and then 39 wins to our 40. The Wolves are 40 and 40, so at least we made 40 wins. Yay. Let's finish with 42. That'd be really, really freaking nice, wouldn't it? With that, we'll take a quick break and we'll preview the upcoming games, but maybe I better pass out the awards first. Gosh, what's wrong with me? The Lone Wolf Award is an obvious one for me. It's Anthony Edwards with a bullet. Great week. Kyle Anderson deserves recognition as well. But Anthony Edwards with a bullet is your Lone Wolf Award winner. He played phenomenal against Portland, but for the most part. Anyway, not the whole game, but for the most part. Played really well against the Nets and the Lakers. Well, the Lakers, he did not play well. But I still think he gets the award, bottom line. Guys like Anderson and Conley, I think, deserve recognition, though, and even McDaniels at times. Had some wonderful moments. Carl Anthony Towns, to me, brings in the loan, what do they call that? The Johnny Flynn Memorial. He was Johnny Flynn-like, particularly in the Portland game. That's what did it. I mean, it's just unacceptable to me the way he behaved and the way he played in that game. And I think I've made my point enough. I don't need to beat it to death anymore. With that, we'll take a quick break and preview the upcoming games. We are back here on Timberwolves Explosion. Real quick, I might as well get back to this again like I was doing before I joined the Basketball Podcast Network. I put the link back in the show description for joining Crypto.com. Crypto.com, of course, it's an app. But that way it'll show that I referred you. You click on the link, it'll basically show that I've referred you. And you'll get $25 in your account. And that's also a way to help this show. Would be greatly appreciated. Cryptocurrency, some people like it, some people don't, but what's fun about it is active 365, 24 hours a day, 365. It's not like the stock market here in the United States. Not all of you are from the United States, but maybe you do trade American stocks. I don't know. Maybe you do. Or you trade Australian or New Zealand stocks, which is quite possible, or somewhere in Asia. Who knows? But that's part of the fun of it all. But with crypto, see the regular stock market has an opening and closing time, and they're not open on Saturday, Sunday, right? And here comes Christmas, here comes New Year's, here comes Easter, here comes, you know, Thanksgiving. The stock market is going to be closed, right? Just like the banks. Crypto's just constantly on, no matter what. It's pretty crazy. 3 a.m. Christmas morning, you can trade crypto. So that's kind of the fun of it at the end of the day, and it's fast. So it's fast, easy. The fees are extremely small. Extremely small. It's more of a percentage thing. So if you're trading like a bajillion dollars, then the fee will be higher just because of a percentage type of situation. But how many of us have a bajillion dollars to trade? Anyone? Well, just like when David Kahn asked for a show of hands if the team was better, nobody's hands raised. None of us have a bajillion dollars. So, of course, a bajillion isn't even a real word, but whatever. Wolves will play the Spurs and the Pelicans and need to finish 42-40. Period. Period. Moody Center. Well, let's try not to be too moody playing against the bleeping Spurs, okay? Losing to the Spurs would be really stupid. That would make me very moody. Naz Reid is out until further notice, and about like I suspected, if he were to return, best case scenario, it would be in the middle of a second round series. So the Wolves survive the play-in and defeat the Grizzlies or something in the first round or the Sacramento Kings. In advance of the second, Naz Reid might return, but might best case scenario return by game 3 or 4 in the second round. So something like that. That's kind of a guesstimation, generally speaking. And I kind of suspected something along those lines. Comparisons with the Wolves and the Spurs, who are a shell of, they're not even a shell of what they used to be. They're just not. It's just starting over from scratch. They're like an expansion team now. And that's how it goes. You know, the Wolves were like an expansion team for the last decade. And we finally got our heads out of our proverbial arses. Points per game, Wolves are 13th. The Spurs are 19th. Rebounds per game, the Wolves are 24th. Spurs are 15th. Field goal percentage, Wolves are 4th. Wow. Thank you, Rudy Gobert, for all those close dunks. 25th for the Spurs. Three-point percentage, Wolves are 16th. The Spurs, are 25th. Wolves are 8th in assists, Spurs are 5th. Wow. Turnovers, Wolves are 27th, Spurs are 26th. Assist to turnover ratio, Wolves are 26th, Spurs are 23rd. The blocks, the Wolves are 4th, the Spurs are 25th. Steals, the Wolves are 5th, and the Spurs are 14th. And as I just coughed like an absolute maniac just now, thank God for the little pause button. The Wolves have been choking way too much against the Spurs this year. In fact, we've lost to them twice. Again, like I said, the Mount Rushmore of bad teams in the NBA. The Wolves lost 115-106 way back on October 24th in Target Center. Great game. Not. In Target Center on Wednesday, October 26th, we said, screw you guys, we're going to beat you. 134-122. And then, 4 days later, why do we play them all on top of each other? That's weird. October the 30th. We played the Spurs three times in October. We went to San Antone and lost 107-98. Don't do this, guys. Win this game. Saturday, April the 8th at 3 p.m. Another stupid matinee game. Great. Great. It doesn't matter if Latrell Sprewell's on the roster or not. Like, Spree don't like playing in daytime. Spree don't like playing at all unless he's making $7 million a game. But then he'll come up with some excuse why he can't play then either. So I don't want to hear it, Spree. Get the hell out of my face. Anyhow, Saturday, April the 8th. Yes, I already said that. Just don't lose the game, please. Please don't lose. Please don't lose. I mean, even Murray's long gone with the Atlanta Hawks. Keldon Johnson's a decent player, obviously. 22 points, 5 rebounds, but his 3-point percentage is only 33. Devin Vassell's become a really nice 3-and-D guy, isn't he? He's a really nice defender. He's very tough. 18.5 points a game, and I remember being all over the guy during that draft. He started relatively slow, but I think he went to the right franchise, generally speaking. Almost 40% from downtown, or basically about 39. Awesome. He is a nice player. Now, if the roster was deeper, who knows how many minutes he would be getting, but still, he deserves minutes. Clearly, he's a good player. I'm a huge fan of Devin Vassell. I might have actually been right about something when it comes to the draft. Now, I was right about Anthony Edwards in terms of picking him number one. At least I'd like to believe I was. LaMelo Ball is really good, too, but I don't know. Something special about Anthony Edwards. LaMelo Ball is special, too, but I don't know. I think Edwards is what we needed, and yeah, I think he brings the right personality as well. Josh Richardson, is he actually on the Blazers? I don't know. I don't think he is. I don't care at this point. one way or another, the Wolves need to win this basketball game, football game. Trey Jones, almost 13 points a game. But the Wolves need to win this basketball game. The Spurs in the last five, it's almost like, who cares? But they beat Portland. They beat them, but we couldn't. God, they beat them by 2 points, 129-127. That was their most recent win. Otherwise, they're 2-3 in their last five, and let's just get off of that. I'm not even going to, this should be, I don't know. The Wolves should be able to win comfortably in this game. And it's time to grow up and just win these last three games, like the Brooklyn Nets, starting with them, and then beat the Spurs and hopefully beat the Pelicans. Both teams have something to play for in that Pelican game. But Zion Williamson is what he is. He can't stay healthy. He's an extremely talented player that refuses to stay healthy for whatever freaking reason. Wolves will beat the Spurs in this game. Anthony Edwards with 35, I think, in this game. I think he's going to really show up to play in these final two games. I really do. Anthony Edwards with 35 versus the Spurs. The Wolves win. Final score is going to be 125-115. Wolves win by 10 versus the Spurs. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? The New Orleans Pelicans, definitely a tough one. A few years ago, they were a real difficult matchup. Then all of a sudden, they were a really easy matchup. Very important game, particularly for this play-in situation. They are 41-39, so you got to hope they keep losing and that the Wolves can take care of business. Generally speaking, the season is split so far. The Wolves lost by 1 point just after Christmas on Wednesday, December the 28th, 119-118. And then we beat the Pelicans anyway, 111-102 on Jan 25th, Wednesday. Sunday, April the 9th is your season finale. And then we start talking about the postseason. We'll be getting into that next week for sure. The play-in and all that, and the Wolves will be eliminated or the Wolves will advance or whatever. Pelicans are 3-2 in their last five, kind of more important than the Spurs situation. At Golden State, 120-109 loss. At Denver, 107-88 victory. Wow. Versus the Clippers is in home games the rest of the way. 122-114 over the Clippers. 121-103 loss to Sacramento. 138-131 win versus Memphis on April the 5th. Impressive. Very impressive. Impressive how Sacramento really took it to him, too, to be quite fair. injuries. Zion Williamson's out since 1987. So maybe he'll play by 2030. I'm not sure. But it's hamstring with him. Jose Alvarado, tibia. That's an ankle, right? So I believe it is. I don't know. But if they're talking about the tibia, did he break it? Jose Alvarado at the end of Feb there. And EJ Liddell, knee injury way back in October. So that doesn't sound good, obviously. Naz Reid with the wrist injury. Austin Rivers has been sick. Jalen Noel has a sore knee, I guess. Interesting. Points per game, the Pelicans are 15th. Rebounds, 12th. Field goal percentage, 11th. Three-point percentage, 12th. Assists, 8th, tied with the Wolves. Turnovers, 22nd. Pardon me. Assist to turnover ratio, 12th. Block shots, 23rd. Steals, 2nd. Wow, they get a lot of steals. And, of course, they have an annoying player named CJ McCollum who can burn you real good at times. He's been a thorn in the side for the Wolves forever. But also, let's not forget of the other part of the Anthony Davis trade. Brandon Ingram's been wonderful with the New Orleans Pelicans. He's been wonderful. Jonas Valanciunas also can be a pain in the butt to deal with, definitely. A tough guy, good rebounder and all that. 10 rebounds a game. CJ McCollum can torch you. He absolutely can. But so can Brandon Ingram. But CJ McCollum, that's kind of more of his thing. Trey Murphy III. So he literally hits trays at 41%. Doesn't take as many as certain players, but he takes it. He takes enough. I shouldn't say that. He does. He takes a lot. Him and CJ McCollum can beat you for sure from the outside. Josh Richardson's on the... Yeah, I think that's where he is right now. Not on the Spurs, but on the Pelicans, right? Yep. Again, like his... How many teams has he been on? Okay, good, because they have this again. Yep, so it has the game log at the top. And now you get the career stuff back again. Thank God they fixed that, dummies. Started with Miami, then Philadelphia, then Dallas, then Boston, then San Antonio, then New Orleans, then... Yeah. So he's been on 5? It felt like more than that. Huh. But it's recent. Yeah, recent since 2020. It's been nuts. Yeah, the Jimmy Butler trade again, where Jimmy Butler couldn't handle being in Philadelphia either, because he's just a moron. Anyhow, Philly, Dallas, Boston, Spurs, Pelicans. So it's 6 teams because, yeah, Miami. So, yeah, but, man, I wanted Josh Richardson for Jimmy Butler back at the time. And, well, Josh Richardson's turned out to be a decent role player. With Miami, he looked like he was going to be much more than that. But it's too bad. It really is. 35% from downtown, 11.5 points a game. That was with the Spurs. With the Pelicans, it's 23 minutes. Yeah, see, only 23 minutes, 8 points. 40% from downtown, though, so watch out there. He's actually had a pretty good shooting year, to be fair, particularly since coming to the Pelicans. But, yeah, definitely more of a role player, but still a great second-round pick when you consider he was the 10th pick in the second round. Great second-round pick, but definitely not the guy you would trade a star player for, necessarily. Just he would be part of the trade. He wouldn't be the main piece. Very winnable game, I think, but it's going to be tough. Is this in New Orleans? This is in Target Center, but of course the Wolves lost to Portland at Target Center. And yeah, we've talked about it in a ridiculous, fashion. So it doesn't matter where the Wolves play at this stage. I mean, we've played well on the road, we've sucked on the road. We played well at home, and we've been freaking horrible at home. And believe me, as a 4-year season ticket holder back in the day, we went through the same garbage even in the Garnett era. Yes, we did. just not as often, that's all. But we went through the same crap where... Man, what an emotional win we had just a couple of days ago. We beat whoever, the Spurs or the Lakers, and now we're playing the Spurs or the Lakers, you know, like one of the other two good teams. Or no, now we're playing the Washington Wizards or something, and then we lose by 15, and it's like, what? And you're just sitting there staring at the empty arena, like, what just flipping happened here? As the security guards are telling you, time to go. Come on, you got to go. And I'm still staring because I'm like, what just happened tonight? So, I don't know. It is what it is. Step out in faith. The Wolves will finish with a winning record this year. We're going to beat the Pelicans 42-40. We're going to get into the play-in with a positive note. We actually can't get to 6th. No, I'm wrong. So, I mean, unless everybody loses, maybe they could tiebreaker. But assuming we're probably going to be 7th, or if we get to 42 wins, or 8th. But at least we'll ensure ourselves one win and we're moving on, and we'll have a cushion if we lose type of thing. By getting in the 7-8 range instead of like you lose as a 9-10, you're done, that type of thing. But I think the Wolves win both of these games. Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards kind of pair up in this one. Maybe actually Rudy Gobert I think is going to be a big factor for some reason, but I can see the perimeter defense of the Wolves being a factor in frustrating the Pelicans and pushing them down and us up. And that's definitely the hope here. Just stepping out in faith. Wolves win. Final score 108-100 over the New Orleans Pelicans. Anthony Edwards with 25. Karl Anthony Towns with 25. Conley with 20. It's going to be a nice combination right there with those guys. 70 points combined with those three. And the Wolves end up winning the game. Guys like Jaden McDaniels, Anthony Edwards on the perimeter will frustrate those good shooters of the Pelicans and get the job done. Gobert will get 15-plus rebounds, and the Wolves win. With that said, we'll take a quick break and look for some fan interaction. We are back here on Timberwolves Explosion Fan Interaction segment. I had the the Twitter account is at TWolvesEX, at TWolvesEX. I want to thank Vince Germano, Tanae, and Levi Brown for retweeting the High IQ episode. And we'll get to the next one very shortly. Because there was some conversation and I didn't get to it in between the shows. I'm glad I backtracked because that would have been a big mistake since I recorded the Minnesota announcements deal. Vince Germano. Let's get to who said the comment first. Vince Germano, Vinrock Vince Germano of the Courtside Podcast, hoping they come back really soon. Vince Germano says, Karl Anthony Towns' mindset is what holds him back, not a leader's arse. And I couldn't agree more. It's true. Yep, and that was kind of my rant earlier. And yeah, I mean, it's absolutely true. I think he absolutely is holding himself back with that kind of attitude, and it needs to change. His mindset is in the wrong place. Like, how am I going to get screwed by the refs tonight? You know, you can't be like that. John Krasinski, Tony Brown shared John Krasinski saying the Luka effect, where he had a crazy good season in Iowa when he wasn't with the Wolves. Franchise season attendance record, second in NBA G League attendance, so really cool, and that's awesome to hear from the Iowa Wolves doing well and all that, and drawing a ton of fans, and that's great. You know, we appreciate Iowa in a big way, just like the Iowa Wild for the Minnesota Wild. That's really cool. John Krasinski said it's the Luka effect. Tanae Brown says, with Nas Reed out, I don't understand why Garza isn't used in the Nas role to inject instant offense for the Wolves. Offensively, he's great. Could easily do damage against NBA benches, as he's proven. Perfect for when teams are on big runs against us. Thoughts? Yep, and I think so, too. I mean, yeah, it is strange how he hasn't been in the lineup at all. Like, this whole week, he wasn't in the lineup. And he's the kind of guy who could go out for 25. Just like how Nas Reed could go out for 25. And that's, you know, like Nas Reed kind of, again, just got a chance to play. And then we got to see what he could do the last few years after coming in as basically an undrafted free agent in Nas Reed's case. I think Luka Garza can also become something special with this team, something very valuable with this team. And that's, honest to God, what we've been talking about is, like, you know, at least we have insurance in case somebody gets hurt. And, gosh, there's so many talented centers and power forwards, so to speak, that, shoot, Luka can't play, or Nas Reed might not get enough minutes, or so on and so forth, because Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert and all that after that big infamous trade in the summer around July 4th. but Luka Garza, this is time for him to be able to play, and I got to think going into the postseason it'd be smart, but also against the Spurs and the New Orleans Pelicans. I think that's an awesome take, Tanae. I don't think there's any doubt. And a nice share here from Tanae Brown, again, coming in out of New Zealand, and he's just an absolute pillar of Timberwolves Explosion and Purple Mafia, to be fair. There it is. He says, straight onto the big screen. And there it is on the big screen. Episode 363 Minnesota announcements. Yep, because I did my little Minnesota. And that was the first ever mobile episode of Timberwolves Explosion. after 363 episodes coming in. And how many years has it been? August 2008 since I've been doing Timberwolves Explosion. So absolutely crazy. And it's an honor. Thank you so much. Is that, that looks like Spotify, is it? I think it, yeah, it is Spotify. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yep, because Spotify is what's going to help now in a big way for this show and Purple Mafia. Spotify is the difference maker. It doesn't, you know, I mean, you can listen to it on whatever platform you like. It's totally fine. I'm not going to demand anything because I'm in no position to do so. But like beggars can't be choosers, right? Like I'm a beggar. Please listen to my show. But yep, yeah, Spotify is what kind of helps this show possibly grow. In terms of, well, yeah, I mean, it can help this show get ads, per se, via the Spotify for podcasters. So that would be really nice. You know, and again, that's media. Media, you need an ad or two to be able to really get anywhere. It's just, it is how it is. Otherwise, you know, otherwise it's only a hobby, which, yeah, which is fine. Hobbies are fine, and it's a great thing. But it'd be nice to get an ad or two as well. That's what was nice about the Basketball Podcast Network, and I miss it now. That's how it goes, though. Benzo, out of the Bronx. Tanae out of New Zealand, Levi out of New Zealand, Vinrock, Vince Germano out of Victoria, Australia, all retweeted the most recent episode, and I can't thank you guys enough. Means a lot to me, always, 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 always. Why is Michael Jordan trending on Twitter? Interesting. I don't know. People are always doing the GOAT comparison stuff, but that's about like a mansion or something, and I'm not here to talk about his house or whatever. I'm really not. So we're happy for you. Vince Germano, or no, I could, why am I getting everyone mixed up? So back on April 5th, there was a crazy six-way, oh yeah, it could have, it still could happen. The Wolves could still wind up with a 41-41 record. Yep, a crazy six-way tie scenario is possible in the West. Yeah, this is what was happening around April 5th. Clippers, Warriors, Lakers, Pelicans, Oklahoma City, Thunder, and the Wolves all stuck at 41-41. That would be hilarious. This is according to Clutch Points. So thank you very much, Clutch Points, for that. It's a lot of fun. And Tanae Brown comments, which I really greatly appreciate. He says, just to think, we're clear of this play-in if we just win 50% of these games. Yeah, and that was that awful, awful. Yep, that's where that came from. I think the Wolves have the tiebreaker. I think the Wolves have the tiebreaker over a few of these teams if we end up all tied at least. Yep, and thankfully we do. Thankfully we do. Yeah, but it's games like the fourth game of the season losing 115-106 to the Spurs. Seventh game of the season, 107-98 to the Spurs. Game 19, 110-108 over the, or losing to the, these are all losses, by the way. Losing to the Hornets, awful team. Losing to the Wizards, 142-127. Ugh, remember that? Game 23, 135-128 to the Thunder. Now, of course, they're not a bad team, but it's crucial that you win that game for playoff seeding. It happens, I guess. And we lost to Detroit twice. Unbelievable. 116-104 and then 135-118. What the heck? It's so bad. Oh, it's so bad. Game 49, 119-114 lost to Houston. Yeah, freaking Magic. We always lose to them. 127-120. The Wizards again, 114-106. The Hornets again. We got swept by the Hornets and the Pistons this year. Do you realize that? It's pathetic. And I remember ranting about that back then. 121-113, and then Portland most recently with a historic, you know, 19.5 point spread loss. 107-105 in Target Center. Yeah, if we won even half of those games, yeah, just go 6-6 instead of 0-12 in those games. Think about it. Yep, just think about it. We'd have 46 wins. We'd be comfortable. Just think about it. We'd be comfortable. Yeah, because the standings are kind of tight. Obviously, they are tight anyway, aren't they? Pardon me. So 46 wins, we would be ahead of Phoenix. Yep, we would be the number four seed in the West. Number four. We'd be possibly playing the Suns in the first round. And then Golden State would be in the play-in instead of us, basically. Or the Clippers would be in, depending on the tiebreaker. But we would be clear. We'd be good to go. In the East, we would be the eighth. We'd be the sixth seed. That's funny, because the East is really tough now again. Since, like, back to the 90s, it was pretty tough. Interesting. That is fascinating stuff, though, when you sit and analyze that and who we lost to over and over and over this year. It's embarrassing. It's bullcrap. Absolute bullcrap. The Wolves would be tipping off versus the OKC Thunder right now as the 9th versus the 10th. And, of course, we'd have to play again to survive versus the loser of Lakers and Nollins. We'll see if we end up moving up into their bracket where we simply win a single game and have a cushion in case we lose, that kind of thing. But let's not talk about losing, okay? Let's talk about winning, damn it. I think the Wolves finished 42-40. Bottom line, thank you very much, Danae. You are a legend. I really appreciate you. Vince Germano, also legend. Benzo, Levi. Oh, I love you guys. Really love hearing from you and hope to hear from you more and more. Reese Pedretti also had an interesting, tends to have a cool video going on. I think I retweeted it. And a hook shot. Yeah, Scottie Pippen from like half court just kind of threw it up and in against the Dallas Mavericks back in the... Oh, that was the late 90s because he was on the Rockets. Yep, Rockets versus Mavs. Yep, so that was kind of a cool shot. Yep, that was after... No, this is like 2000-ish, right? Because Pippen left the... This might have been 98-99, the lockout year. Yeah. Because Pippen had left the Bulls. Yep, obviously. I think he only played with Houston that 1 year. And then went up with the Blazers. Yeah, this is 98-99, the lockout year. That was a fun year. It was fun, but, that was when the Spurs started winning, unfortunately. The other Texas team, because there's three of them. So it was a good shot, though. Thank you, Reese Pedretti. Random Hoops coming in out of Brisbane, Australia. Thank you very much for that. Looks like there's a comment in there. Oh, yeah, straight to the big screen. Yep, that's the one. So there was a comment reply to that one. All right, want to thank all of you so much for listening to this show. Please, those of you that have supported this show for so long, I appreciate you so much. And tell your friends about the show. Anybody that's kind of relatively new, I hope you're enjoying it. And tell your friends about it if you could. Maybe try to interact with me on, Twitter, at TWolvesEX, or Facebook, facebook.com/TimberwolvesExplosion. Interact with me. I'm a nice guy. I'm not, nothing to be shy about. I'm a nice guy. I'm not crazy. I'm not weird. So I'm weird a little bit, but not that weird. I won't, but I guess we all are in our own way. Again, hopefully the Timberwolves can finish with a winning record this year with a couple wins versus the Spurs and the Pelicans, but I guess we won't hold our breath, will we? We'll find out and we'll talk about it next week.